اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear friends, today's Jumma talk is definitely a lengthy talk. Meaning what? There are so many issues, inshallah, we need to discuss, but I don't think time will allow that. The first point I want to share with you is tomorrow, inshallah, I think the last flight from South Africa leaves for Makkah Muazzama. May Allah take all the hujjat safely and may they perform all the rituals as per sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that regard, just one fazilat of the hajis, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua in the favor of all hujjaj. And that's very interesting. Dua was, ke Allahumma maghfir lil hajj. Oh Allah, grant maghfirat to all the hajis, whole lot. Wali man istaghfara lahu. And also, oh Allah, forgive those people in whose favor the hujjaj make dua maghfirat. And we know for a fact that the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is generally accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have those very rare occasions where for some great wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declined accepting du'as. But this du'a, I'm sure Allah has granted in our favor. Therefore, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has special mercy on the ummah. And that's again another topic on its own, where we need a lot of time to fully appreciate Allah's ni'mat and favor on the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something else come to mind as well, my friends. Ke in the Maidan of Arafat, when Allah's Nabi was there in Arafat on the 9th of Zilhijjah, and we turn back the calendar, we'll find that on the 4th of Zilhijjah, in the year 10 Hijri, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkah Muazzama after leaving Madinah Munawwara, a journey about 8 or 9 days. It was the 4th of Zilhijjah on a Sunday. And our 4th of Zilhijjah coincide with that 4th of Zilhijjah Sunday as well, inshallah. And our 9th coincide with the 9th of Arafat on that day. This is another issue that when Makkah will make Hajj Minayas. So that's another issue. But the important fact is we are governed by our time zone. If our time zone says 9th of Zilhijjah Friday, that's fine with us. If our time zone says 10th of Zilhijjah on Saturday, that's fine with us, because we are governed by the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the movement of the sun and the movement of the moon. Of course, this is another topic again. We know the debate that's going on in the Cape right now. Do we make Eid in Makkah, yes or no? If you want to go that route, my tiki line mind says, then follow Makkah in everything, by the 5 namaz to follow Makkah. There are rules. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He created the sun and the moon and the movements so that you may determine your times. Definitely, when sun is rising one place, the sun is setting somewhere else. Somebody makes Fajr there, somebody makes Maghrib on this side. Somebody making Zuhr, somebody making Isha. So we are governed by our time zones. And this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fazal, we especially in the Natal and Kauteng area with Allah's fazal, we are following that particular rule. So anyway, the point was, on the 4th of Zilhijjah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into Makkah Muazzama, and the very first thing he did upon entry was, of course, perform what we know as the Umrah. And thereafter, the rest of the chapter carry on. Going to the next bit, Qurbani and Hajj are interconnected. Qurbani and Hajj are interconnected. We know for a fact, as far as we are concerned, that Hajj starts with Ibrahim alayhi salam. But no, you go back in history, it starts with Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. That's another topic on its own. But if you connect the Qurbani part, the Qurbani that we know of, that definitely has a direct bearing with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, as Allah discussed in Surah Was-Saffat. Let's examine that ayat quickly. Allah Ta'ala says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Allah takes us to that point of time when Ibrahim alayhi salam makes dua. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Simple meaning, O Allah, from your side, you bless me as a gift. From your side, with a pious child. A similar dua was made by Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, also mentioned in Quran. Right? Where he made dua, Rabbi habali min ladunka durriyatan tayyiba. Ya Allah, from your side as a ni'mat, as a gift, You bless me with a child. Now why are both these Anbiya asking Allah Ta'ala the dua in this particular manner? If you examine their life, what do you see? You see that both these people have one common feature. The feature was, both of them had entered old age. Both the Anbiya, Zakaria and Ibrahim A.S. desired, like any man in dunya desires. If he owns an empire, I wish I had an heir who will take over my empire after I leave the dunya. These dunya people. But the people who are Allah wala, it is their desire. Okay, just as I am engaged in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's demands, that in like manner, how I wish I had an offspring or offsprings who will follow in my path. Thus we find both of them made the same dua, similar dua. Ya Allah, from yourself, dhurriyatan tayyiba, they are pious and pure child. And Ya Rabbi habli minas salihin. And Allah goes on to say, for both of them, Allah gave them basharat. We are now interested in Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah says, فَبَشَّرَنَّاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Allah says, we gave him basharat ke, Ya Ibrahim, the dua that you have made, it has been granted. Soon you shall become the father of a child. And this child will have a special quality, Halim. Halim means one who is put to the extreme end of tolerance, where your patience is taxed to the limit. Now Allah is giving one clue here, that your child is going to face a kind of trial unlike faced by anybody in the past. And of course Allah goes on to say what? فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. When the child is of age. Now in between these two, the information regarding the birth of the child and when the child reaches the age of running around, there is a big gap in between here. What is that gap? The child is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, take your son, infant, be child, and your wife, Bibi, Hajra, and you will leave them in that part which will be directed to you by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, and you know that bit as well. And where are they left by? What we know today as the Valley of Makkah Muazzama. Now what is again very interesting, my dear friends, is as follows. How did they travel? Did they walk? I came across some information somewhere where they came via Burraq. Jibreel is the guide. The burraq is the means of transportation. Ibrahim alayhi salam in the front, Bibi Hajra behind him, and the child in between. And they're traveling, we'll say, by air. And each time they see a town or a village coming into view, Ibrahim alayhi salam asks, Ya Jibreel, yeah. So no, move forward. And now there is this valley of Makkah Muazzama, my friends. And from the top, Jibreel says, Ya Ibrahim, that's the place, Allahu Akbar. Quran describes the scene. Biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, a valley without vegetation, not even a blade of grass. He saw the view from the top. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, he says, yeah. Bas, Allah, your command, sami'na wa ata'na. This morning I was teaching in class and a very interesting point Allah put in my mind. Very nice, I'm going to share that with you as well. When they were brought down, he doesn't speak to Hajra. Leaves them there and he's going, what does Bibi Hajra have? Little bit of water and some little bit of tiffin, little bit of food, lunch. And he's walking away. Bibi Hajra says, Ya Ibrahim, you're leaving us here in this barren land, nothing here. He was ordered by Allah, don't speak. So he cannot communicate. She was very sharp, being a Nabi's wife. And she knew, my husband is one who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we can term a pakka Musliman. So she posed the question, Ya Ibrahim, is this the command of who? Allah. Motion with her, yes. That was good enough for her. He is gone. Now we come to that part which I understood this morning, alhamdulillah. Bibi Hajra did not move from here one bit. The little water that was there, exhausted. The little food that was there, exhausted. Not a blade of grass, no chisa from the top. No trace of water anywhere nearby. And what else do you know? You know that when the water and food was exhausted, she went to that little hill which you know as Safa. She left the child here, she went up there. Why did she not, the question now, why did she not take the child and move out of this place, search for another area where there will be means of visible survival? She remained here at this spot. She climbed up that hill not to search for water. She climbed on that hill, perhaps some people may be going past. Perhaps they may see me, and perhaps they may assist me with something. And of course, she walks down,
the other here and on the other end. And you know that issue of her running. We all know she ran. Where did she run? In between, but which part? Why did she run? There was a dip. Originally there was a dip. So when she had entered that dip, she cannot see her child anymore. Thus she ran, concerned about the child. When she comes up on the top, now she can see her child, now she walks. Goes to Marwa and she looks around as far as the eye could see, nobody going past, and thus she up and down. The beauty, my friend, here is, I want to share with you, she did not abandon this area because she understood this is the command of my Rabb. Ibrahim alayhis salatu wassalam left them here, command of my Rabb. And she knew, whatever is Allah's will, if I am to perish with my child, so be it. I surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you understand that? Now, 10 years later, when father and son and wife meet, what happens? So many years went by, there is deep down the desire to see the child, and they say, absence makes the heart, Mr. Mullah, grow fonder. So after 10 years of separation, when he casts his gaze on his little child, who is now big boy, mashallah, the heart is suddenly filled with Allah's muhabbat. If you study his history, it was always filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now suddenly the heart has filled with Allah's love. And Allah says, Ya Ibrahim, ye baat theek nahi hai. Up to now your heart contained only my muhabbat, and suddenly now your heart has filled up with the love of your son. You will now have to, as we all know, sacrifice, as you use the term, your son with your own hands for the sake of my love. And you know the other story. Allah says, okay, Ibrahim alayhi salam told his son, Inni ara fil manam, O my son, I see in my dream, Anni adhbahuka, I am running a knife over your throat. That also we know. And what did the son say? قَالَ يَا أَبَدِ فَالْمَا تُمَرْ Oh my father, do as you have been commanded. Let's pause for a moment quickly now. Ibrahim alayhi salam merely saw a dream. And we learn in our Islamic teaching that the dream of a Nabi is real. What a Nabi sees is a reflection of reality. Our own Nabi used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just before Jibreel came to me in the cave of Hira, I used to see dreams, the reflection of which I saw later on. Exactly what I saw in my dream, I saw the reality and material afterwards. So we learn from here again, the dream of a Nabi is a reality. So when the son is told about the dream by his father, look at the answer. Oh my father, do as you have been commanded. The little boy understood, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come what may, I accept. Now we go to Mina. Father and son are there in Mina, and of course the son is laid down on the ground, you know that bit as well. And comes that crucial moment. Sometimes it's all talk, as far as you and I are concerned. And when the 12th hour comes, and when the blade is now on the throat, it's another scene altogether. You and I, mashallah, we all say, by Afghanistan, jayenge bhai. Let's go, they will give our lives. And what did they tell us? Please don't come, because you haven't got what it takes. And even now, despite all the drama, they still are standing there, alhamdulillah, firm. May Allah keep them firm. Right? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's trial in their favor. And I can promise you, the greater the trial which Allah puts a person through, the greater will be the martaba and the status of that person in the akhirah. Look at Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. What was done to his body? What mutilation? Allahu Akbar. No man in history, I think, right, suffered that kind of mutilation which he had to endure. And what was the result by? Nabiyyeh Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned what? Ke Amir Hamza is Sayyidus Shuhada'i Ahlil Jannah. Because of that, Allah gave him martaba of what? The leader of the Shuhada'i Jannah. So depending on the trial, Allahu Akbar, Allah gives you that status. Coming back to Ibrahim alayhi salam, what do we see here? Okay, he spoke to the son, we all know that. Now the 12th hour, to put the knife on the throat, one. And for the son to be on the receiving end now. This was indeed a very, very critical moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives both of them shabashi. Falamma aslama. Aslam, I wish you all know Arabic. Aslamas, without alif in the end. He submitted, he surrendered. We say we are followers of Islam. Am I right? Islam means surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musalman, one who surrenders to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you and I firmly believe that yes, we have submitted ourselves to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then literally and otherwise, we are now truly Musalman. But if you go zigzag, then definitely like Mohan has been talking recently on the issue of munafiqat and nifaq, and he showed us, Allahu Akbar, that definitely we have in our heart nothing but nifaq. Why? Because where is surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here in Surah As-Saffat, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. That alif came in the meaning, when both of them submitted to the will of Allah. What was Allah's will? In the dream, Ibrahim placed that knife over your son's throat and run that knife over his throat. You do that part. And Ismail, be prepared to have the knife placed on your throat and be prepared to have the knife over your throat. Try this experiment today. Go and buy one nice sharp jack razor. Experiment. Imagine the experiment. And take that and rub that over your finger once. And see, mashallah, kya hoga bhai. Like the saying goes, you know, maybe one, two drops of blood may come out. They say, ek katra khun baha kar sayyido mein naam lik diya. Imagine that. Now that's a very crucial moment, my dear friends. And generally, a normal person will give it up by, I can't do it. And it's happened in history over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compliments the two here with the words, falamma aslama wa tallahu lil jabin. When both of them surrendered to the will of Allah, he was prepared to slaughter and he was prepared to be slaughtered. And the knife is actually running over the throat. Allah says, فَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. At that moment we called out, Ya Ibrahim, the dream that you have seen, you have made that dream come true. What did he see? Exactly what has happened now. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذْبِ نَذِيمُ. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْبَلَاءُ مُبِينُ. Hey Ibrahim, this was indeed a very great trial. A trial of what? Also keep this in mind, and many of us misunderstand. Allah was testing us so that Allah will know. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهُ. Allah knows the answers already. Allah would like you to know. Normally I explain to children when I do this sabak, I say, listen, a child learning for examination. We say, come here child, let me test you. In this case, I'd like to know what you know. On the other side, by my testing you, I want to know how much you know, so you can proceed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alimul ghaybi wash. Shahada. Up to that moment, Ibrahim alayhi salam had definitely displayed his submission, surrender and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has taken him now to the extreme end, the limit as you can call it. And Allah would like Ibrahim alayhi salam to know, Ya Ibrahim, there was the time in your life when you were prepared to lose your own life for my sake when they threw him in the fire. And there too you remained stable. That time was your life. Now it is the life of your son I am going to put on the line. And definitely, Ya Ibrahim, you will see. Here too you shall pass. And that is the day he came to know, okay, no doubt my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely far greater than my love for the entire creation, in particular, my love for my child. Can you understand that, my friends? Of course. This also Allah ta'ala says, Allah وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذْبَحِ نَظِيمِ. Allah then substituted that with an animal. Going in the history of the animal, time is really going. Right, in short. Turn back to Quran. Allah Ta'ala talks about Adam alayhi salam and his two sons and their exam. And where they were required to make an offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person makes an offering to Allah in response to the command of Allah, when you carry that out, then you gain Allah's closeness and nearness. Like regarding Qurbani, Allah Ta'ala and Allah Nabi says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no activity in the days of Qurbani more dearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the shedding of blood. Because this is now the occasion for us to do that. In like manner, whatever occasion may arise in our life, stage by stage, if we apply ourselves at that time according to that demand, then that action is very dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sons made their two Qurbanis. Allah accepted one. One was told, offer an animal from your stock that you have and he chose the best of the animal from the stock. Shaitan came to misdirect him. Shaitan says, Allah doesn't eat, Allah doesn't drink, Allah has no need, why give your best? He replied, hey Iblis, Allah is the one that gave me all this. Allah doesn't need the whole lot, he asked for one, so definitely I must give him the best. Allah loved this. It comes in hadith and in history we learn at that time they were not allowed to partake like how we are allowed to partake. Place this animal on a mountain, a fire will come down and take it up. Now this animal was placed live on that, on a particular mountain. Fire takes it up. We are told this animal grazed in Jannah from then till the Qurbani of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Animal went up live, it required to be slaughtered. Today when this Qurbani of Ismail takes place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Jibreel, now understand this, Ismail is on the ground, the knife is on the throat, Ibrahim alayhi salam hand behind the knife, Allah says, Ya Jibreel, rush to Jannah, take that animal, bring it down, substitute. My friends, there's no time. One day, Allah's Nabi asked Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, how fast do you travel? Had he told him so many light years per second, he would have understood. Sahaba would not have understood. So he gave a beautiful example. He said, Ya Muhammad, understand my speed. I was on the arsh of Allah when the brothers of Yusuf pushed him in the well. Yusuf began to fall. He was pushed and is about dropping. Allah said, Ya Jibreel, rush down and grab Yusuf before he hits the ground. And there I was, I grabbed him. Right? Come back here. Ya Jibreel, take that animal from Jannah and rush down and substitute. The knife is on the throat already. He's coming down as fast as he can. Jibreel views the entire scene. And as he approaches, he's afraid because the knife is running already. Excuse me. What he doesn't know is, Allah has given the other command, hey knife, don't you dare. He doesn't know that. So as he rushes down, now your person and your voice, throw your voice is faster than your person, you know, if you're moving. So as he rushes down, he calls out, perhaps I may not make it in time. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Signal, Ya Ibrahim, Jibreel, I'm coming. When Jibreel is coming, there's some information. He's blindfolded. He doesn't know what's happened in the bottom there. La ilaha, come on. La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, Ibrahim salam. The son now, of course, the knife he felt running there. MashaAllah kuch hua hi nahi. So something good is about to happen. What does he say? Allahu akbar walillahil ham. Bas, ye ho gaya. That three statements put together from Friday morning, Ba'd al-Fajr, Takbir al-Tashriq, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Time is going. Sorry, maaf. In conclusion, my dear friend, next Friday is for us the day of Arafah. Very, very important day, and I'm sure all of you know by now, it's a day in which all of us should try our best to keep Roza on that particular day. Whom Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq, started yesterday, right until Friday for the 9 days, keep Roza. But the ninth Zilhijjah Roza, Zilhijjah Roza is the most important Roza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to keep that. There are lots of benefits, there's no time for that. In conclusion, again, we make dua ke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the barakah of Zilhijjah, to the barakah of the Qurbani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. And just as He showered on His mercy and maghfirat on Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in Arafat Maidan on the night of Zilhijjah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must do likewise for that day. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Walhamdulillah rabbil alamin.